2 Chronicles chapter 11 this morning is where we're at. I'm going to pray and then we'll look at this scripture together. If you'll pray in your heart and ask the Lord to speak to you too, the Lord will do so. Father, thank you again for allowing us to come. I ask you to please give us the words to say for your people this morning. Would you take away all the distractions that might hinder or take away from what you want to speak to us? Would you put a hedge of protection around this place? Help Satan not to have his way in the hearts and minds of people. Lord, may we again be focused on you. And Lord, would you speak to us in a real way? If there's someone not saved, draw them to you. Help us as Christians. If there's one backslidden this morning, may they again confess and forsake and their sin and get right. And Lord, may you again be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. Thank you for this day, this hour, these people, and most importantly, you. I ask you now to please bless the service in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Chronicles, I want to just point to the key verse, if you don't mind, first of all, this morning. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Look at verse number 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse number 17. It says, "So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon." I'd like for you just to read the first phrase out loud with me this morning, just the first phrase, together, verse 17, together. "So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah." All right, now I want you to limit to just the word "strengthen the kingdom." Would you say that with me? Strengthened the kingdom. Church family, I don't feel like I have to preach on a particular subject when holidays come around, but I think the July 4th holiday reminds us of the freedoms that we enjoy. The Declaration of Independence, declaring our independence from England, and how God allowed us to set up a Christian nation. And our nation was Christian. And unfortunately, we're straying farther and farther away from what Christians ought to be. It was interesting when you look at when prayer and Bible reading was taken out of the public school in 1963. When that took place, pregnancies increased 187%. When they took prayer and Bible reading out of the public school, kids, or I should say girls, ages 10 to 14, pregnancies increased 553%. When they took prayer and Bible reading out of the public school, you'll find that sexually transmitted diseases had gone up 226% in just the first 12 years. In 1963, divorces increased from that point on 300% each year for the next 15 years. In 1963, unmarried people living together increased 353%. Now, I could go on and on as far as statistics, but I want to tell you something. America has gotten worse and worse and worse. And when you try to separate God from the nation, then you're not going to have a very good nation. The Bible says in Psalm 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Psalm 114:15 says, "Happy is the people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Now stay with me this morning. All I'm trying to get you to think about this morning is that phrase that we just read. They strengthened the kingdom. They strengthened. That word kingdom means rule, means dominion, means those that are in power. Now, we could apply this to your home, strengthening the family. We could apply this to the church, strengthening the church. We could apply this to where you work, your job, strengthening the work or the job place of occupation. This morning, I would like to make our parallel this morning with America, because truly Judah was strengthened because they did three things that are mentioned in this passage here. And the Bible says, in referring to the people, they strengthened the kingdom. Now, I know you say, "Pastor Angus, I'm just one person in the United States of America, and I do not make that big of a difference." I want to remind you that Achan caused an entire nation to lose the next battle. I want you to understand that the troubler of Israel caused them to lose the battle out of Ai. And you say, "Well, that's just an isolated case." I want to remind you in the New Testament that Apostle Paul said, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump," and that one person that was in the church that was in sin was affecting the entire church. Now, I understand that as a United States citizen, I'm glad I live in America, and I don't have any bones about it. And I have a hard time with a person who doesn't like the United States of America. It's amazing, we can complain about a lot of things, but one thing you can't complain about is we have freedom here. And go to a foreign country, and you don't have to go to very many, and you're going to find out the United States of America has it pretty good. And I want to tell you, even the places like going to Panama in November, and of course we've been over there with David and David and Delight, and other places, going to Africa. I just want to tell you, you go to different places, you don't feel as safe until you come back to the United States of America. And it's because we have freedoms, and we enjoy that freedoms. And I know that you have lost and saved alike that causes us to be able to keep those freedoms as far as people that are in power and people that are in the different branches of our executive system. But I want you to understand that you're still a part of the United States of America, and you have an opportunity to strengthen the kingdom. And I believe that we strengthen our families and our church and the United States of America by doing the same three things that are mentioned when God said, "Hey, this is what they did. This is what caused them to strengthen the kingdom." Hey, I hope the Lord comes back, because then we'll have a good kingdom. It's called the millennial reign of Christ, the millennium kingdom. And Jesus will be the one that's ruling, and he'll rule from Jerusalem. And all everybody will bow to him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But understand that in the days that we're living in until Christ comes back, we ought to be strengthening the kingdom. In other words, those that are the authorities over us, we ought to be able to strengthen those kingdoms. It's interesting when you think about David. I'm getting to the message. Stay with me a little bit longer here, okay? It's interesting that when you think about David, that the Bible says that when God made David king, that God made David king because of Israel. David wasn't king really because he was such a good person. David was king because God cared about Israel. Hey, you ever thought about America's a great place, but maybe the reason God placed you in America and didn't place you in Iran or Iraq or Syria or some other foreign country, maybe he placed it because God loves America and God wants America to succeed and he wants the kingdom to succeed. And I know this morning we're in church this morning, but it's not by accident that we live in the United States of America. And we have an opportunity, and I know I'm specifically talking about strengthening the United States, but I'm talking about strengthening every authority group that you can think of. And again, whether it's home, church, or work, God wants us to strengthen the kingdom, and there's ways that we do that. Quickly, let me just show them to you. In verse number 16, it says they strengthen the kingdom, but I want you to look at verse number 1 with me this morning. 2 Chronicles 11, verse number 1, and when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he gathered of the house of Judah and Benjamin 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors. Verse number 2, but the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel and Judah and Benjamin, saying, verse 4, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, return every man to his house, for this thing is done of me. And they obeyed the words of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam. Now you understand the story is when the kingdom was split, 10 tribes followed Jeroboam, 2 tribes followed Rehoboam. And Rehoboam said, hey, this is not going to happen. We're going to put everybody back together. And God sent a man of God to Rehoboam and said, no, this is of me, let it alone. And I want you to understand when you get down to verse number 11, verse number 17, when it talks about they were strengthened the kingdom, it has to do with they followed, or I should say obeyed God. Hey, you know what's going to strengthen the United States of America? A group of people, and by the way, it takes one. It takes somebody just to obey God. I know all kinds of junk's going on around you, and I know that the world has its own philosophy, and they look at us as abnormal. When we say, hey, listen, abortion's wrong, and homosexuality is wrong, and lying is wrong, and adultery is wrong, and we talk about how there should be holy living, and how a Christian ought to be, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, and how we're supposed to live for God, and when you come to their door, and you try to tell them, hey, listen, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto, and they look at you, and they say, what in the world? Hey, you know what the difference is? You're obeying God. What did he say in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount? He talks about there. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That passage has salt and light. Talk about the influence of a Christian. Hey, everything can be really bad in the United States of America, but there ought to be somebody still standing for Christ. And I want to tell you that stand starts with you personally. It comes to you as your family. It comes to us as a church. And you can see how it just expands and expands. I have to, number one, individually, I have to have a walk with God, make sure I'm right with the Lord. I need to make sure that my family's going the right direction. And my kids might not always like that direction, but if they're living in my house, they follow that direction. I'm telling you something, we got this whole thing backwards. Mom, dad is the authority figure in the home. That means they ought to do what dad says, not what they want. Hey, can I tell you, I have 8 children, and all 8 of my children have opinions. And a lot of, sometimes they don't agree with dad's opinion, but guess whose opinion wins? Mine. You know why? Because I'm the authority in that home. Hey, when I leave the home situation and I come to the church, we have a church situation, and God sets up checks and balances. He didn't put a dictator in. The pastor is not the dictator. God gave us pastors and deacons, and he allows the church to be autonomous, which means self-governing, and we have a direction to go. Follow me for a second here. As an individual, I can strengthen the kingdom. I can strengthen the authority figures in my life by how I live and how I choose and what I do. In a family situation, I can strengthen the kingdom. All of my children can strengthen our family by doing right. If I've got a kid in the family that's sneaking around mom and dad, and they're doing things that they're not supposed to be doing, and they're telling their brothers and sisters, shh, don't tell mom, don't tell dad, they're not strengthening the kingdom, they're hurting the kingdom. Now, when I say kingdom, I'm talking about the authority in that person's life, that grouping. They're hurting it. That's the same way in a church. Now, I'm very thankful for the Heritage Baptist Church and your pastor. I would be very naive to know at this point right now if you're a wolf or if you're hurting the church. Man, you say, well, pastor, you're looking through rosy glasses, and I am. I'm thankful for the church family, and I'm sure that there's people in here, you're not living right, you're not doing right. That's part of human nature. Not that we have to, but I know there's just people in here, you know there's secret sins in your life, you're glad nobody else knows about them. And by the way, you're not strengthening the kingdom, you're hurting the kingdom. And I know the ultimate goal is to strengthen God's kingdom. All right, this is not a kingdom on earth. I'm using the term kingdom as an authority, as a realm. And when it comes to the church, God's given authority to the home. God's given authority to the church. God's given authority to government. And I want to tell you, you ought to be a part of strengthening those authorities, the home, the church, government. You ought to be a part of strengthening that, not tearing it down. In a church setting, I want to tell you something. You're not strengthening the kingdom when it comes to the Heritage Baptist Church. And we're not about Heritage Baptist Church. We're about Jesus Christ. Amen. We're not about how big the church gets. We're not about how important the church is. The church is only important because of who's our leader, and that's Jesus Christ himself. We need to build Jesus up. But I want to tell you, Apostle Paul said it very, very clearly. And he went through all those problems in 1 Corinthians. And he was talking to the Corinthian church. Hey, brothers ought not to be going to law against brothers. You ought not to have a person living with his mother and committing immorality. You ought to be doing the Lord's Supper correctly. What did Apostle Paul do in the book of Corinthians? He was addressing all of the things that were not strengthening the kingdom. The church at Corinth, the things that were hurting the church and not helping the church. Now, follow me this morning. I just want you to understand that as an individual, you ought to be strengthening the United States of America. I know it's about Jesus Christ this morning. I'm just making the parallel that God allows the nation, he allowed the nation of Judah to succeed because they did these three things. And when they stopped doing these three things, God brought punishment. Now, quickly, I want to show you a verse, and I'm going to come back and teach these three things. I want you to look over to Jeremiah chapter 7 this morning for a second. I want to show you something. God was not very happy with Israel because they did not do what they were supposed to as far as strengthening the kingdom. Look what happened in Jeremiah chapter number 7. Let me read one. I'll probably just read one verse with you. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7. Look at verse 28. Jeremiah is the prophet. He's preaching to Judah. Here's what he told them. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 28. But thou shalt say unto them, I want you to read the next four words. I'm going to say it again. Now, verse 28. But thou shalt say unto them, first four words, what is it? So God's about to describe the nation of Judah. Number one, that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God. Number two, nor receiveth correction. Number three, truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Now, the last phrase of the chapter says this, for the land shall be desolate. I want to tell you something, when you're a nation that will not obey the voice of the Lord, when you're a nation that will not receive correction, when you're a nation where truth is cut off, I just want to tell you, you're headed for destruction. Hey, I want to tell you, our nation is going that road, by the way. Our nation is a nation. Hey, you know, it's interesting to me. You know, and again, I'm not preaching politics this morning, and again, I hope it doesn't offend when I mention, because I know sometimes we make it political, and I'm not being political this morning at all. But isn't it interesting that our president that is acting right now, he's receiving all kinds of flack. The liberal media does not like President Trump. But isn't it interesting that if Hillary Clinton would have been elected president, her platform was abortion should be free for everybody. Her platform was homosexuality ought to be a normal, untouched lifestyle. I mean, you follow her platform. Her platform was everything Christian. And I want to tell you what the news media would have been doing if she was president. They would be praising her for allowing women to choose whether they could abort a child. Praising. Can I tell you that since 1973, a lot more than 30 million, but I know for sure over 30 million babies have been killed just since we've, in 1973, when the Roe versus Wade is far from allowing abortion. And I want to tell you, we want to criticize the president because of this and this and this, but you're going to have a hard time criticizing the president on moral issues. And I understand our president, and he's not the greatest example when it comes to morality, but I'm thankful that as the leader of our country, he's not making immoral decisions for our country. We might not agree with his foreign policy. We might not agree with what he's doing as far as who he puts in. But one thing for sure, hey, listen, he's not for abortion. And he's not for the things that we would hold dear to us when it comes to the Word of God. And as Christians, I would rather have somebody in the White House that is not against the Word of God. And that's exactly what Hillary Clinton would have been. She'd have been against the Word of God. Now, I'm not doing a presidential platform this morning. I'm trying to say that our country is headed down a wrong direction, and we cannot rely upon President Trump or any other president to make sure that we go the direction God wants to do. What you need to rely upon is you as a Christian standing for God, doing what's right, so that you strengthen the United States instead of tearing it down. Hey, thanks. Since I'm the pastor, I can say this, okay? Thank you very much. If you don't like America, get out. Amen. To me, it's real simple. These guys that want to burn the flag, burn it, but wrap it around you first before you light it.
Amen.
That is crazy. Criticize the United States of America and have all the freedoms that we enjoy. If you don't like America, go to a foreign country. I guarantee you'll come back. Now, this morning, this is not a political sermon. This is not a Nation of America sermon. This is a Christian sermon that we have an opportunity to strengthen the authorities that God's placed in our life, or we have an opportunity to tear down those authorities that God's placed in our life. And what are those three authorities? God's ordained them. God ordained the home back in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. God ordained government in Genesis chapter number 9 when he says that if you shed man's blood, by man your blood is to be shed. God ordained the church in Matthew 16 and verse number 18 when he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So God ordained three entities as authorities that we're supposed to have in our life. And you can either tear them down or you can strengthen them up. Now I want to notice quickly this morning the three things. Verses 1 through 4, we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Verses 1 through 4, the best way to strengthen the kingdom is number 1, obey God. You know, it's interesting in Ecclesiastes, if you don't mind, I can't quote it. I want you to turn to it. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. I don't want to quote it wrong. Look at Ecclesiastes. If you have a Bible, turn with me now. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. I want you to see what the Bible says here. It's not chapter 10. If you jump back to... Chapter number 8, excuse me. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Look at chapter 8. Look at verse number 2 with me. Ecclesiastes 8, verse number 2. Church, just read it out loud with me. This is not a very long verse. Let's read it together. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 2. Begin. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment and that in... Keep the king's commandment in regard to what? Hey, you know what that's telling me? If the United States of America makes a law that's contrary to the word of God, we're supposed to obey the oath of God over what the king says.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Hey, God is the supreme authority. Everything else is a delegated authority. So here's what we have. God's supreme authority. He's Almighty God. God gave authority to the home. Children, obey your parents. God gave authority to mom and dad. All right? Romans chapter 13. God says that the powers that be are ordained of God. Romans 13, 1 through 7 is talking about He's talking about government. Talking about the police for it. Talking about the military. God's placed those authorities in our life. Those are delegated authorities. God talks about the church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7. Obey them that have the rule over you that watch for your souls. Talking about the pastor. There's a certain amount of authority the pastor has. So God's given delegated authorities in our life. Supreme authority is God. If a delegated authority, dad, if a delegated authority, government, if a delegated authority, pastor, says anything contrary to the oath of God, guess who's the supreme authority? God is. We're supposed to follow that authority. So this morning, all I'm trying to say is, God wants you to strengthen the kingdom, the authority figures that God's the supreme authority. But God's delegated these authorities in our life, and he wants us to strengthen those authorities. Hey, lady, listen to me this morning. If you go home and all you do is bash your husband, criticize your husband, talk about how he can't do anything right, you never encourage your husband, you don't submit to his authority, I just want to tell you, you're destroying the kingdom. You're destroying the kingdom. You're not strengthening the kingdom because you know why? Oh, I know, Pastor. I'm not strengthening the kingdom because I'm not obeying my husband. Nope, that's not what it is. You strengthen the kingdom by obeying God. I strengthen my home by obeying God. God told me how to be a good wife. Now, I've said it 1,000 times and I'll say it again. I believe that the husband has more of a responsibility than the wife. I've always had believed that. When God came to the Garden of Eden, did God know that Eve ate the fruit first, yes or no?
Yes,
he did. Then how come when God came to the garden, he didn't say, Eve, step up to the plate? How come God came to the garden and said, Adam, where art thou? I want to tell you why. Because he was responsible. He's responsible. Listen, you want to strengthen the kingdom, you want to strengthen the authorities that God's placed in our life, and I want to tell you, number one, you need to obey God in everything. You need to obey God in everything. And you, by the way, sometimes it's not always enjoyable, but his commandments are not grievous. And the things he commands us to do are for our good, not for our worse. And you just need to obey God. Quickly, number two, I want you to see this, and I'm not going to dwell very long on these next two, but in chapter number 11, if you back to the 2 Chronicles there, in chapter number 11, first of all, in verses 1 through 4, you see that they obeyed the word of God. Church, I don't want to read all this, but verses 5 through 13, you're going to find that Rehoboam and the people fortified the different cities. Verse number 5, Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem, built cities for defense in Judah, and then it names all those cities that he fortified. Verse number 11, and he fortified the strongholds and put captains in them and store of victuals and oil and wine, and in every several city he put shields and spears and made them exceeding strong, having Judah and Benjamin on his side. I want you to think about, if you're going to strengthen the kingdom, number 1, you got to obey the word of God, but number 2, you have to prepare for war. You know what Rehoboam was doing? Rehoboam knew that one of these days Jeroboam was going to show up at his doorstep, because Jeroboam had 10 tribes, Rehoboam had 2. It's, you know, and now remember now, God said, Rehoboam, I don't want you to attack him. I want you to leave him alone. He obeyed the word of the Lord. But you know what Rehoboam thought in his mind? Okay, I'll obey God. I'm not sure he's going to obey God. So you know what he does? He goes around to all those cities and fortifies them, puts shields in them, puts captains in them, puts military in them. Hey, church member, can I tell you how you strengthen the kingdom? You prepare for war. Hey, what did the Bible tell us in the book of Timothy? Endure hardness as a good soldier. Hey, how many of you guys are in the military? Raise your hand. Oh, several of you. Amen. And praise the Lord for you. I'm thankful for the United States of America, and we couldn't have it if we didn't have a strong military. I'm thankful for a president that wants to put money in the military. I really am, man. I'd rather fight somebody on their soil instead of on ours. I mean, it's great. Now, you guys that raised your hand a moment ago and you're in the military, when you went to boot camp, they let you wear your hair like you wanted to. They let you pick what color uniform you'd like to wear. You got to order what you wanted to eat for breakfast, lunch, and supper. And you got to sleep in till 9 o'clock every morning. Now, you fellas, listen to me. You young fellas, if you ever go to the military, that's what they got to do. You ought to do it. It's a joy. You talk about just in to relax. They gave them the weekends off. I mean, it's just wonderful. All right, now the reason you guys are laughing is because you know that's not true. When you went to boot camp, they cut your hair off. They told you, here's your clothes, and if you didn't like the color, tough luck. They put food in front of you that you had never eaten before, and you're glad you don't have to eat since. They got you up at some of the most unusual times. You didn't think your heart was beating at 3 in the morning. You went through all of that because you were a soldier and you were preparing for war, and they were training you and they were teaching you because you had to stand and fight. Hey, can I tell you? You know what strengthens the kingdom? When you have Christians who are not babies, when you have Christians who are soldiers for Jesus Christ, they get themselves out of bed and read their Bible. It's not a Christian that the only Bible they get is on Sunday when the pastor says, open up your Bible to such and such. That's not the only Bible you got. You know why? Because you're a soldier. You got up on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and you got yourself out of bed before you went to work and you spent some time in the scriptures, you spent some time in prayer and talking to God. And as a soldier of Jesus Christ, you kept some tracts in your pocket and you told somebody about Jesus Christ and said, when you get a chance, would you read this? Or you knocked on a door and said, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? As a soldier of Jesus Christ, you sacrificed because you knew, hey, listen, I'm going to give as God would have me to give. And you give your tithes and your offerings and you give to help other people. You know why? Because you're a soldier. You're preparing for war. We're in a battle. It's a Christian warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a fight. I want to tell you, what doesn't strengthen the kingdom? You know what doesn't strengthen you as an individual or the home? I should say the three. What doesn't strengthen the home? What doesn't strengthen the church? And what doesn't strengthen the nation? When you got a bunch of pacifists. Not willing to fight. You're not willing to fight. You're just willing to give into your flesh and let your flesh do whatever you want because you're not willing to fight. If you want to strengthen your home and you want to strengthen this church and you want to strengthen our nation, fight! Fight the good fight of faith. Don't let your flesh win and do whatever it wants to do. Say, I'm not what I ought to be, but I know I can be a whole lot better than what I am, and I'm going to strive one day at a time. I'm going to get the victory over my flesh and the world and the devil, and I'm going to continue to draw closer to God. And the just man falls 7 times, and I messed up, but I'm going to get it back up again. I'm a soldier. We talk about the young people and how we want them to turn out to be something for God, and we talk about how man alive grow up. Some of you guys that are 13, 14, and 15 now, why wait till you're 25 and 26? In this passage here, what strengthened the kingdom was, number 1, they obeyed God. Number 2, they prepared for war. Quickly, this last one, and I'll show you and we'll be done. But look at the next one here. What strengthened the kingdom is in verse number 14. Verse 14 says this, for the Levites left their suburbs. Okay, let me read verse 13 if you don't mind. Verse 13 says this, and the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel, now that's the 10 tribes, not the two, the 10 tribes, and they were all in Israel, resorted to him, to Rehoboam, out of all their coast. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. And he ordained him priest for the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he had made. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, out of those 10 tribes where Jeroboam was, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel came to Jerusalem to sacrifice in the Lord God of their fathers. So they strengthened the kingdom. Church family, I'm done. I'm going to just quickly say this last one. Hey, you know what will strengthen your home? You say, Pastor, I am just a teenager. Strengthen your home. Pastor, I'm just the wife. Strengthen the home. Okay, I'm the man of the house. Strengthen the home. I love Heritage Baptist Church. I do. You know what strengthens Heritage Baptist Church? Watch me now. You know what strengthens Heritage Baptist Church? It's not Pastor Hanks. You can get another pastor. God. I was reading this morning, Psalm chapter 12, I think it was. But promotion cometh from the Lord. He sets up one, amen, takes on another. You know what strengthens Heritage Baptist Church? It's a Christian, that obeys God, prepares for war, seeks the Lord. Amen. Obeys God, prepares for war, seeks the Lord. And you know what happens? They strengthen the kingdom. Now, the United States of America, I don't know how long God's going to tarry is coming. I'm thankful for where I live, thankful for the United States, I'm thankful for Kansas, and I'm thankful for living in Lawrence, Kansas. I'm thankful for being here. I don't want to be anywhere else. If you're in the center of God's will, I don't think you ought to want to be anywhere else either. I'd like to be in Alaska, or I'd like to be in Florida, or I'd like to be. Hey, watch me now. If you're in the center of God's will, you're in the best place you could ever be. All I'm trying to say is this. You have an opportunity to strengthen the authority figures God's placed in your life, the home, the church, and in our nation, government. And the best way that you can do it is obey God on a regular basis. Make sure that you prepare for war and live the Christian life. And you're in a war. Live the Christian life you're supposed to. And then seek God with all your heart. And seek Him every day of your life. And you know what that does? Makes things stronger. It strengthens our kingdom. I like red, white, and blue. I like Old Glory. And I know the day we're living in, so more and more people, they're not obeying God. More and more people, they're definitely not thinking about the Christian life as a warfare. And I know we got a bunch of people not seeking God, but that's not everybody. Hey, sing with me, God Bless America. You ready? God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. Hey, church family, that's not a cliche that political candidates use. That's an action that Christians do. You want God's blessing on America and strengthen the kingdom, you got to do those three things. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Let's take a moment in prayer.